adapted insect's gut. To test this hypothesis, we identified Cook binding nuclear protein in unadapted insects using EMSA with mosquito 7 antibody anti-ASBP. This Cook nuclear protein interaction was interrupted by only adding this mosquito 7 antibody. This indicates the bound nuclear protein is a blocked member of 7-up. Then, next, we cloned CMSVP from insect guts and tested the negative regulation of CMSVP through co-transfection of CMSVP with cal-reporter plasmids into S2 cells. CMSVP repressed the CMKP promoter, and this repression was specific because CMSVP had no effect on this IE1 promoter, which does not have a Cook element. So, in a summary, we identified Cook elements in the CMKP promoter through this specific interaction with the nuclear protein in unadapted insect guts. Then we cloned the CMSVP from insect guts and detected this CMSVP repressed CMKP expression in S2 cell culture systems. Now, currently, we are trying to clone transcriptional activators of CMKP in SCN adapted insects. So now we are focusing on these interactions. And I'd like to thank my graduate committee, Dr. Kian Jusasman, Dr. Linda Guarino, and Dr. Craig Coates, and Dr. Hisashi Koiwa. And this research is funded by USD NRA. And I also thank to Dr. Raker in UC Riverside for kindly providing mosquito 7 antibody. Yeah, thank you for your listening. I'll take your questions. Yeah.
Yes. I have a question about the inhibitor that you use to inhibit the pepsin, the assisting protease, pepsin B that you use.
Yes.
Is this a synthetic inhibitor? Is this a synthetic inhibitor or this is a protein-like inhibitor?
Protein-like.
It is a protein-like inhibitor that you buy commercially?
Oh, no. Actually, we expressed this inhibitor. So this is we express in this inhibitor in the bacterial system. So we use the recombinant protein.
I understand that, but that recombinant protein, is this a native of the insect, or it is a protein that somebody found to be inhibitor, you know, general inhibitor perhaps in
This is the natural and specific inhibitor to the collapsin B. The system protein.
That was isolated from that insect?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So you are talking about the collapsin B. Yeah. Actually, yes, we made us the seed in a library using this the copy of Burkitt Rabi under the treatment of SCM, and then we found several large system protease genes. So this the actually this collapsin B came from the microarray collections. Yes, we identified, we isolated from our insects the copy of Burkitt. Yes.
But also the inhibitor of that cathepsin, you also isolated from that from your insect?
No.
Oh, that was not?
No. That's the soybean system protease.
Yeah, but you know, some insects do have natural inhibitors.
Yes.
Those inhibitors might not be overcome by the enzyme.
But no, this is not chemical.
This is not a natural
yeah.
one. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, in your introduction, you said that there are some legumes that the kelpie can attack. But we do know that it's pretty narrow, their diet is pretty narrow. In your research,
actually, we specifically kind of we are looking for the this one kind of this the plants. So actually, I don't know about the different the other the legumes in different plants. Kind of I'm narrow, we are narrow down the specific the plants.
Well, if there are not any more questions, I'll proceed to the next speaker.
So today I would like to talk about the research that I have been working on for the past couple of years for my PhD project. And the main one of the main goals of our lab at the University of Florida is to identify the different factors that influence caste differentiation in the termite. Termites are one of the few organisms that have developed.
Research looks at the digestive physiology of the Asian longhorn beetle. So likely the microbial community is important in breaking down wood in this insect. So this is a wood-feeding insect. So today I'm going to talk about how this microbial community is acquired throughout the life history of this insect. So the Asian longhorn beetle, I'm going to refer to it as, sorry I'm leaning over to reach the mouse, ALB, is a wood-feeding insect. It feeds on healthy living trees, so it's not feeding on decaying wood. I want to point out the life cycle. So adult beetles here lay or oviposit eggs under the bark of a host tree species. These tree species include maples, poplar species, and the larvae develop in the phloem tissue and then move as they grow into the inner wood. So my big question is, how are these larval stages that are feeding on the inner wood of a healthy tree species able to break down wood and grow and develop? So larval ALB grow and develop feeding on non-decaying woody tissue. So in order to do so, they're likely have to break down cellulose, xylan, and lignin, which are the main components of woody tissue. So in order to determine how they're able to break down wood, we're interested in the role of the microbial community in wood degradation. And it's been shown that the community of this insect is quite diverse, and other species of longhorn beetles have cellulitic or cellulose degrading bacteria in their gut. So we're really interested in novel wood-degrading enzymes. And this could have applications in biofuel production, insects and biofuel, of course. So the Department of Energy is interested in creating ethanol from cellulosic biomass, or biomass that's based from cellulose. And in order to do so, they need to have novel enzymes and microbes to break down the cellulose. So they're interested in our insect, because it's feeding on non-decaying woody tissue, in possibly providing some of these novel microbial species and novel enzymes that could be utilized to increase the efficiency of cellulosic ethanol. So it's likely that they're important in wood feeding, the microbes, but it's unclear how they're acquired and passed from generation to generation. So my question today is, how do the larval ALBs acquire the gut microbial community that's required for wood feeding? And we're looking at two hypotheses. First, they could be vertically transmitted from the adult stage to the larval stage. So the adult could be passing the bacteria on somehow, the larvae pick it up and then continue on. Second, these microbes could be acquired from the environment. So it's feeding on the tree is out in the environment, it's covered in bacteria. Maybe it just acquires the bacteria that it needs through feeding on the woody tissue, picks up bacteria, and they become part of the gut community. So the approach that we're going to use to answer this question is do a culture-independent community analysis based on extracting the DNA from these samples. And we're going to look at both ALB life stages combined with environmental samples, so the host tree itself. So the way we collected our samples is we allowed adult ALB to oviposit onto a bolt of wood. So this is a quarantine insect, so we had to do this in quarantine. So we used a bolt of wood in place of a tree. We then pulled that bolt of wood out. You can see the oviposition sites or egg laying sites here. And we collected both non-oviposition and oviposition samples. So the non-oviposition samples I'm coining as environmental, and the oviposition are insect. So our treatments are, from the environmental samples, we collected bark, so the surface of the wood, this really contains the bark and phloem tissue, and wood, and this I'm referring to as the inner wood of the tree. And then from the insect samples, so these are ones where the oviposition site is, we collected bark, wood, and then we also collected the eggs. So you can see here in the oviposition site, this thing that looks like a grain of rice is actually the egg. Surrounding the egg, you can see a lot of staining. So one of our hypotheses is that the beetle, adult beetle, when it's ovipositing, may be inoculating the wood with bacteria through, so it chooses its oviposition site, so it should be, could be doing it through its mouth or through the oviduct itself, causing the staining of the wood. So we collected bark, wood, eggs, and we surface sterilized a portion of these eggs and did not to others so that we can differentiate between the bacteria that are found inside of the egg and those that are found incorporated with the surface of the egg. We also allowed some of these eggs to hatch inside of the wood, collecting larvae, and we're also looking at the adults, but I'm not presenting that data today. So the community analysis method that we used is called automated ribosomal energetic spacer analysis, also known as ARISA. And all this is really doing is it's a PCR amplification between the 16S and 23S ribosomal RNA regions. So these are highly conserved regions. You can see down at the bottom, the mouse. So we're amplifying from here to here. So because they're conserved, they're going to amplify in all species of bacteria. But this intergenic space here is not conserved. So different species of microbes are going to produce different fragment lengths and sequences of this region. Thus, from one sample, when we do a PCR, we get a pool of a bunch of different fragments. We can then separate out those fragments, and each fragment represents a different species of microbe. We can sequence the fragment and then identify the microbe as well. So this allows a rapid profiling of the microbial community. So this is an example of an ARISA profile. This is a chromatogram. So this is a capillary electrophoresis rather than running a gel. And the red peaks here represent the size standard. So we're going from 100 bases down here to 900 up here.